Bow with me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you this morning for this time to pause, to pray. Lord, we need you. Lord, and just help us to a few moments as we break forth the bread of life. Lord, our hearts will be open, receptive to what you have for us today. And Father, as we pray this morning, we do bring before you this morning Marlene Hines. Lord, and all the surgery will go well. Marlene will have her health be well and be with Brother Bernie during his time as well. Then we pray for Patsy Drake. Lord, please just be with her. God, we pray for her healing and be with Brother Drake during this time as well. Please, Lord, do that. Give healing to these ladies. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. We're going to read the first four verses. Very familiar story. Very familiar story. Before I even read the text, this message this morning is going to involve giving. But hopefully I'm approaching this as God would have me to do it. Will be a blessing, a help, a challenge to our hearts. Luke 21, the first four verses. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Many things we don't know about this widow lady. Her age, don't know that. We don't know her name. We don't know anything about her appearance. It says she is or was a widow lady. Don't even know how many children she had. May not have had any. Don't know. That's what I'm saying. We don't know why her husband had passed away. Don't know that. But this passage of Scripture, I don't know if there's another passage in the Bible that's been used more than this one or not. Maybe. I could be stand corrected on that. But it's been used in abundance, no doubt about it. Especially when it comes to our stewardship. But Jesus commended this widow for her faith. Now, in Sunday school, we talked about our faith. Growing in our faith. There's no stopping. We just continue to grow in our faith. Sad to say, in these number of years that I've been had the privilege and the calling of God to preach His Word, it's not unusual today to find someone that says, yes, I'm saved. Let me back up and say this. I've heard people say not only about our church, but other churches as well, well, they just expect too much at church. Well, if the Word of God's being preached and practiced, you know, most people would say, and I've heard people say this, God expects too much. God will never give me and you a burden that we can't carry out. You'll want to remember that. And we need to do that. But he commends this lady. And his commendation, because Jesus did it, I believe, was one of the main reason, actually, that we still read about it. It still encourages. And the favor of Christ upon her life was continuing. Of course, you know, Christ should become more precious to us, and the world should wane. Jesus said, you and me are not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. And we're here as his witnesses. We're here as his lights to do what he would have us to do. But I want to just point out two or three things here this morning about this poor widow's faith, okay? The widow's faith took her, would you believe, to the place of worship. I don't like to start on a negative note, but this morning across America, there's thousands of people who say they're saved and love the Lord, but they just didn't present themselves in the house of worship today. Now, you can say what you like, but it's a test in a person's life when it doesn't bother them, and they do it frequently and almost on a regular basis, to absent themselves from the war, from the house of God. Right. It's true. It's true. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. God tells me, and you, He commands me and you to go to church. I love to go to church. I really do. I would love to go for one other reason, just to see Emmer. That smiling face. Oh, my. One thing about Brother Emmer, you can't give it away, buddy. Amen. Amen. I pick on him quite a bit. But anyway, the house of God. House of God. You know, there's no place like home. We've been busy the last few days. And I'm not complaining in one ounce. Not at all. But I know somebody else did too. Brother Helms come down to my house, and he and I got on those easy chairs, and we put our feet up, didn't we, brother? We sure did. We love home. The next most loving place to your home should be church. Matter of fact, you ought to be a member of one. You need to be a member of a good church where you can take your family and they hear the Word of God. This woman went to the house of God. The treasury was at the temple in Jerusalem, which is typical, symbolic of the church today. Now, some people could have said this widow lady. I mean, a widow lady, she probably didn't have the world's finest. Some people said, well, you know, I just don't have anything presentable to wear to church. But she went. Well, I don't go, there's too many wealthy people down there. I had a man tell me one time, he said, preacher, all you got down those churches, millionaires and rich people. I said, there's an exception. I'm not. I was being a little facetious with it. It's amazing the things that people will come up with as to why they don't go to church. I've had people to me criticize our church, and you know what I say? So I said, can I ask you a question? Have you ever been to our church? Answer to that question is normally always no. But they can, you know. Just anything, any crutch you can find to stay away from the house of the Lord. And I'm talking, a lot of these people profess to know Christ. Now, this lady went to the house of the Lord. People say, you know, they work hard all week. And Sunday, Lord, that's the only time I have to rest. I didn't write this book. God did. And He tells us to go to the house of the Lord. She was poor, very poor, but she was rich in faith. Do you know you don't have to have anything, people, to have faith in God, and God will take care of you. He was taking care of this widow lady. When I thought about this widow lady, I thought about the one at Zarephath. Well, Elijah went there and Now, you just try to place yourself in this lady's condition. He said, lady, you know, she was making a fire. Had just a little bit of meal left in the barrel and just enough oil left in the cruise, and she's going to make her and her son a cake and go eat it and die. Elijah said, No. You make me one first. Now, am I talking to you? She did. And until that lady died, meal never ran out and oil didn't run out of the cruise. Moral of that story is she put God first in her life. Ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads, whoever you may be, young people here today, you'll never do anything greater in your life than putting God first in your life. This world's going to get, if it hadn't already, it's going to mess you up. It's going to trip you up, sure as the world. It's not your friend. The world's not our friend. It's our enemy. Okay? But hear this, lady, her shortage of funds didn't keep her from church. I don't know if I've ever told this story, may have, years and years ago. When I was a boy growing up and I was in high school, I spent a lot of time with my cousin. And on the road to his house, on the left, my wife knows exactly who I'm talking about. This little, I'll call it a shack. Very, just a a poor man's house. People lived there was Alice and Charlie Jackson. And we stopped by there. We went by there. I'm quite sure my wife had been there too. I may have took her. I don't know. Alice and Charlie, now I tell you, they didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. They were poor people. Well, just up the road a little ways was a church. I think we were on our way to church at another place. It may have been Brother Drake's when he was in Withville. And we were going to church, and here they come. Now, I'm not exaggerating. Here's Miss Alice. Broke my heart. He couldn't do much better. They were sister and brother. Neither one of them ever been married. Going to church. Boy, people have air-conditioned automobiles, GPSs, and everything else today. They don't go to church. This widow's, secondly, her faith moved her to give. Many people would have thought they could not afford to give. And there was those that no doubt said, you see that little lady there? She can't afford to give anything. She has nothing. Now, let me just take a moment. And I want to help you here. And I believe a lot of even members, people go to church on a regular basis. You know, when you give, you got to do it with the right spirit. Why did Jesus give for me and you? Because he loved us. You give because you love God. No other reason. Not pressured. Not to be seen or heard. We've got to have the right spirit about giving. About giving. We know what the Bible says. I'm not going into a long dissertation this morning on tithes and offerings. I think the majority of this building know about tithes and offerings. My. The right spirit. The right spirit. Well, I know. Now, even in my office this morning, when I was reviewing and going over this, I said, Lord, there are going to be those about halfway through. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. Go tune me out because it's got to do with giving. I want to ask you questions more because, number one, God loves you. Number two, you're looking at a preacher that loves you. I'm talking to everybody, not just our church this morning. Do you love to give? According to the Bible. Let me say lovingly, as tactfully as I know how this morning, you cannot justify yourself to God for giving less than a tithe and an offering, regardless of your condition or situation. You don't have no argument with the preacher. God's already said it. He's not going to change his mind, so no need to argue with him. Here's what he said. And until you do that, and you do what God wants you to do, and when you do it, and you do it with the right spirit, can I say to you, because I've experienced it and am experiencing, what a blessing. Every day of my life, even when I'm asleep, Jay, God's giving to me. Every moment of my life, God's giving to me and you as well. He's always giving, 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 always giving. And then the preacher or the missionary or whoever it is or the church had needs to raise some funds for whatever project may be, people get they really get just out of shape because, and then they go out in the neighborhood and say, all that church ever wants is money. Am I telling the truth? I'm telling you the truth. The right spirit. I give not necessarily because even though God uses the preacher to preach to us and challenge our hearts and so say, here's what God says, but I do it because the Holy Spirit of God has laid on my heart and convicted my heart, and I get that paycheck, net amount, I give God a tenth of that without any dispute, any argument, without circumstances or situations. You do that and you trust God and do it the right spirit, you will be amazed what God will do for you. I know I've experienced it. There's other people in this building experience it. Our visitors, I know them well enough. Hale's been going to their church for over 28 years. And I know they're givers, no doubt in my mind. A preacher ain't said a word to me. I know they are. Here was a lady. She needed every penny for her living. Brother Henry, where did he go? Back with his wife, I bet. Sure, that's where he ought to be. Anyway. I think I still have in my office in a little plastic box two mites that you gave me years and years and years ago. Widow's mites. And I believe they were like the ones he's talking about here. I don't know. It's what he said. Two widow's mites. That's all she had. I said that's all she had. She didn't say, Lord, I'm going to give you one of them. Then what she did, she put both of them in the offering. She could have said, let all these people in here that are wealthy, let them give. I need my two mites. I need to get a meal and make some bread. I need to buy some oil and cruise. I'm going to be hungry tonight, so I need my two mites. She considered her giving, and this is true. This is true. This widow lady considered her giving an act of worship. Your giving is worshiping. You're giving because you love God and because you are worshiping Him. And when you give in the right spirit, it's an act of worship. Ushers come forward every service in our church. Sunday school had come forward twice because the second time the Lord laid on my heart to take an adult class special project offering. And the list is up to my elbow of things, all the things that's been done with that special offering without even going into our general fund. Everybody doesn't get it. That's fine. I just the ones that want to. That's what we've been doing. Some people do it regularly and faithfully. An act of worship. You see, Christian giving has a spiritual significance. She couldn't give much, but couldn't keep from giving. And she did. Two mites, two little small copper coins she gave. Her gift must have seemed so insignificant to everyone else. How many saw it? I don't know. But one thing for certain, it was a special and important gift for this widow lady. She went home. I bet she was rejoicing on her way home. And I promise you, God provided meal for her. He provided oil and cruise for her. He took care of her till the day she left this life. She did. Yes, he did. The widow's faith caused her to give all she had. Verse 4, look at it. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God, unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Matter of fact, God said she gave more than the rest. He did. You know, I believe that God measures our gifts by our ability to give. All of us adults especially, and even some of these young people today, man, they drive new automobiles. And they're not suffering much. I said that to say this. We know what we have to give. Do we not? We know what we have. You check most every day. on the market and you do this and you do that just to check on, see what that balance is. I speak truth. I know what I'm saying. Wonder who gave you that. Come on. Who gave you that? That's right. Without me, you can do nothing. And without me, you'd have nothing. That's mine. That's Williams chapter 2, verse 3. I mean. You know. God convicted my heart on the way home from church one night. In Fairfax, we lived down there. I don't remember what I said, how, I don't remember. I just said, we're going to start tithing and giving offerings. We've been doing that ever since. All these years. And down through the years, it's increased. You cannot give God. See, the others that gave just part, just a small percentage of their wealth. And then they were still very wealthy. Very wealthy. Some people would say she'd held nothing back, and she was human like you and me. I want to think maybe, I don't know, the inward struggle that may have gone on in her heart before she gave it 2 mites. That goes on in the hearts of people regardless of the amount they give. That should never happen, of course. I said earlier, the right spirit, when we give our tithes and offerings, it shouldn't bother us one iota. It's the first fruits. It shouldn't bother us. Can I say something to you? Don't ever rob God to buy something you want. You really want it, but you don't really need it. And that happens so many times. So many times. But faith, her faith, even though she might have thought about it, her faith prompted her to give. Faith giving, what our givings are, our giving is revealed by really what we keep. It's just something for you to think about. Someone wrote, that they're on a gravestone in England, someone had put on their team's tombstone this: what I spent, I had; what I saved, I lost; and what I gave, I have. Think about it. So do it one more time, preacher. What I spent, I had. What I gave, I lost. What I gave, I have. See, folks, you know, and I know, and I'm about finished. God is the great giver. When we realize and understand and believe what he says about, without me, you can do nothing, and without him, we'd have nothing. All of our needs are supplied by him, and then we're hesitant. We hold back. We make excuses not to do what God would have us to do. Now, I've been in the ministry all of these years. I've never advocated. I have never twisted anyone's arm. And, you know, I don't know about your finances. You know something else? I don't want to know. If there's anything that gets our attention, it's our finances, and it's personal, and that's it. It's between me and God. I agree. Amen. But let me say this. God knows what we have. Somebody say amen. Okay. God knows what we have. Okay. I know we have to eat. Not as much, but we have to eat. We have to pay the rent, have to pay the mortgage, have to put gas in the car. But that's all those needs that God said he'd provide. And we give because we love him with the right spirit. You'll never have a need that God will not take care of. Amen. He gave us salvation, didn't he? Didn't cost me and you a dime. Not a dime. Now we're going to heaven because we're saved. Wonderful. Wonderful. God gave his only begotten son. You ever thought about what it cost God for me and you to be saved? Would you give your only begotten son or daughter to die for someone else? Gets our attention, doesn't it? Really does. God's a great giver. He gave his son. Yes. I pray that, and of course, this is the next in a series of messages I've been preaching on faith under fire. And if we were to give this a message, a lesson, we'd say, just call it faith when funds are low. The widow lady's funds were low. She gave it to God. He took care of her. Let's bow our heads, please. All heads are bowed and our musicians take their places. Today, I came in the pulpit today with a burden, always do, that this message would be a blessing, challenge, that God would encourage us. I know I'm preaching to people in this building has been given for a long time. When you do it because you love the Lord, you do it, and because of that, our church is, it's not wealthy, but it's all the needs are met. There's a few dollars in the bank. We thank God for that. And you know why that is? Because God's people give. They give. As our heads are bowed, first of all, I'd like to ask this question. Do you know Christ? Do you have the assurance in your heart this morning when you leave this life, whenever that may be, that you are going to heaven? If there's anyone listening to my voice this morning, you've never trusted Christ, I'm not coming to you. We're not going to embarrass you. No, we're not going to do that. But if you don't have assurance in your heart this morning, and we don't know when we're going, all of us may not grow to be old. I hope we do, but we might not. If you've never trusted Christ, you do not have assurance in your heart you'd go to heaven, I'd like to pray for you. I won't call your name. I just want to pray. Would you just lift your hand and say, by doing that, you're saying, preacher, pray for me. I want to know for sure, and I leave this life where I'm going. I saw one hand. God bless you, dear lady. Take it down after you lift it. Thank you. I want to know for sure. And you can. You absolutely can, no doubt about it. Oh, it'd do all wonders for you. Well, you'd live life differently when you know where your eternal home is. Is anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. Don't know. Pray for me. Now, in light of the message we preached this morning, to all of us that know Christ, I take it that everybody else is a Christian. No one else lifted their hand that they need Christ. Now, it may have to do with the message I preached. It may not have a thing to do with it, but you need prayer this morning. And I'll be glad to pray for you if you just lift your hand. Lift it up and take it down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see hands. Yes. Thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you, son. You can take it down. Somebody else? Anybody in the choir? Yes. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's all stand together. Everyone standing. Our Father, as we pray, you know I saw two hands that lifted them, that they need Christ. I pray you'll just, Lord, you've moved in their hearts. Evidently you did, or they wouldn't have lifted their hand. But we can take the Bible in privacy. We can show these two people how to be saved and know it and leave this place much different than when they came in. God help them when the choir begins to sing the moment to come. They'll never regret that they did. And I pray for these that lifted their hand that are saved. They have burden. They have need. And Lord, hands were lifted, and I didn't ask them to be lifted on whether they were faithful to you in their giving or not, but I want to feel that you spoke to people's hearts about that. And if there are those that need to come for that reason, I pray they will, whatever the need may be. You can meet all needs. And we ask you, Lord, to do that this morning in this service. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Our heads are bowed. Choir's going to sing. You come. Okay? Someone's here to meet you. Come on.
Have thine own way.
Step out and come.
Lord,
come on.
Have thine own way.
Come on. Step out. Go away.
Take me after.
you come? Let God have his way. Let his
spirit.
Like I said a moment ago, you never regret it. Just step out.
Choir's going to sing one more verse, but I felt I just needed to say this. Do you realize the awfulness it is to leave this life without Christ? Realize where you'll spend eternity forever and forever and forever because you don't know Christ? Tormented? Folks, it's a Bible truth, but oh, praise God, you don't have to. Just come to Christ, trust him, invite him into your heart. He'll come. You have eternal life in heaven. This is it. This is the last verse. If I go sing anymore, as they sing, you come.